This is Rebecca Jernigan, your tour guide into discoveries, coming to you live simulcast from the heart of America to around the globe via the World Wide Web, terrestrial radio, satellite, and podcast. Let's journey together into the realms of the unknown to the known in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. All right, I am here in the studio in the heart of America, Kansas City, broadcasting live and heard on the Journeys with Rebecca Radio Network, and of course all of my great affiliates. So check them out. Go to the website, journeyswithrebecca.com, and thank you for tuning in. Now, to keep up with all the changes going on, be sure to read the Journeys News section. And thank you to the sponsors that make this show possible, American Association of Professional Psychics, Fate Magazine, Universal Learning Series, and PerfectlyOrganic.net. Tonight's show will be very intriguing to most of you. The topic is about pre-birth contracts, and the guest is Robert Schwartz. So if you've not already done so, please visit his website, CourageousSouls.com, and we will talk about Robert and this topic in just a moment. But for tonight's show, we do welcome your comments and questions. So email us at mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com, or you can IM me from Yahoo, and the ID is journeyswithrebecca. That's all one word. And the chat line is open. So as you're listening to the conversations with my guests, you can interact with each other. But please respect the rules of the chat feature. And you can find the chat feature on the homepage on the right side. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit more about tonight's guest, Robert Schwartz. The name of the book is Courageous Souls. Do we plan our life challenges before birth? Through the remarkable stories of pre-birth planning, there's many things that we can do. Each of us can learn why we decide to experience such challenges as illness, the death of a loved one, or accidents. And other challenges explored from the perspective of pre-birth planning include being the parent of a handicapped child, deafness, blindness, drug addiction, and alcoholism. You can also understand how you as a soul create your life blueprint. You can also consciously use your challenge to foster spiritual growth. You can understand that the people in your life, including your parents and your children, are there at your request, motivated by their love for you to play roles that you have scripted. You can replace anger, guilt, and blame with forgiveness, acceptance, and peace, and deepen your appreciation and gratitude for life as a soul-expanding evolutionary process. This show is going to be immense help to many of you listening tonight. So, let's journey together. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
All right, welcome back. And again, my guest this evening is Robert Schwartz. And we are talking about the book Courageous Souls. Do we plan our life challenges before birth? Let's welcome Robert to the show. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
I am well. It's so wonderful to have you on the show this evening. This is an absolutely fantastic topic. It is a topic that can be truly life-altering for many people, especially after they get your book and they read it through, and to listen to what we're going to be chatting about tonight, because it's going to give everyone that hasn't thought about this a kind of a unique and different perspective on really what we're doing here. So I find it really fascinating that somebody actually wrote a book on this, and this is really good stuff. I guess before we get started, Robert, what we might want to do is just to kind of let people know a little bit of background about how you came into writing the book, why you decided to write the book, and, you know, what was the motivation or inspiration, as it were.
Well, Rebecca, the path to writing Courageous Souls started in mid-2003. At that time, I was living in Chicago, and I was working as a self-employed marketing and communications consultant, and I was very, very unfulfilled by the work that I was doing. You know, I often had the feeling that if I were to fall off the face of the earth, none of my clients would even notice. They would just plug someone else into my role and carry right along. And I had the sense that there had to be a higher calling or a higher purpose to my life, but I didn't know what it was. I wasn't even sure how to determine what it was. So I tried very conventional sorts of things, none of which really led to any great insight about what I should do with my life. And finally, almost in desperation, I did something that at that time I had never done before, although it's commonplace for me now, and that is I had a session with a psychic medium. In this session with the medium, she introduced me to the concept of spirit guides, that is, highly evolved non-physical beings with whom we plan our lives before we're born, and who then guide us through those lives after we incarnate. Through the medium, I was actually able to talk to my spirit guides. And one of the things they said to me was, you planned many of your greatest challenges before you were born. And as you can imagine, I was shocked by this, and I said, why in the world did I do that? And they said, you did this for purposes of spiritual growth. So we went on and we talked a little bit about what some of my challenges had been and why I had actually wanted before birth to have these experiences. Well, when this session was over, I was astounded by this information, and I thought about it constantly in the days and weeks to come. And it had the effect of allowing me to go back over my life, review many of the seemingly bad things that had happened to me, and now see deeper meaning in them. You know, when those things had happened originally, I hadn't seen any deeper purpose, and the apparent lack of purpose made my suffering that much worse. But now, with the information that my spirit guides had provided to me, I could see that there was, in fact, a plan for my life, one which I myself had created. I could see that there was a deeper meaning to the seemingly bad things that had happened to me, and this was very, very healing to me. So I realized I was onto a concept that could bring great healing to other people as well. And so I decided to write a book about it.
Well, and I first of all, thank you for doing that. That's number one. And number two, you've said a lot of things in there that I think for people that were listening, I would like to just kind of go over about the fact that you called them seemingly bad incidences. And, you know, I think there comes a point in many people's lives, I'm not sure that everyone experiences it, but I truly believe that many people, as they're standing back and they look at their life and they go, how come does bad things happen to me? Or how come when I do this, this doesn't work? Or how come I keep repeating these patterns? Or, you know, they're, as you said, you were unfulfilled and you tried conventional methods, you know, trying. A lot of people will change their residence, or they'll change their job, or they'll change something that is, you know, in this, what we would call this reality, trying to find a way to make sense out of what are called, you call, seemingly bad incidences. So I think this is extraordinarily profound, the way that you have worded all of this, Robert, just to let people know, is that when you get to that point where you stand back and you look at your life and you go, how come all of this stuff is happening? There, you know, you were very fortuitous to have stumbled across the person that you did, the psychic medium, that assisted you with that concept. And this concept is a wonderful concept for people who maybe have been in similar places, such as what you described, to kind of maybe it might be something for them to look at. What was our pre-birth contract? So I know that through the reading of your book, which, by the way, is just wonderfully written,
Thank you.
Just really, truly enjoyed the way that you presented all the material in there. I think probably to make things very even keel here for you is that you might want to talk a little bit about some of the psychic mediums that you worked with, or the differences or the sameness in them, why you were kind of putting this book together, because I think that's important for people also to understand that different psychics have a different perspective on how they look at this particular concept of pre-birth planning.
Well, Rebecca, I research Courageous Souls with the assistance of four particular mediums and channels who appear in the book, as well as another two who served as consultants. And these individuals, when combined, had the exact collection of skills that I needed in order to access information about people's pre-birth plans and find out why they had planned certain challenges into their lives. One of the most unusual abilities belongs to that of a medium named Stacy Wells, who's in Arizona. Stacy actually has the ability to see and hear the conversations we have with one another before we're born. So working with Stacy, I was actually able to go into people's pre-birth planning sessions and eavesdrop, so to speak, on the conversations they were having with each other when they planned certain challenges for the upcoming lifetime. I also worked with a medium in New York State named Corby Mitlied. Corby has a number of remarkable abilities, one of which is that she can actually channel an interviewee's soul. So working with Corby, I had the opportunity to interview souls directly and say to them, what did you plan for this person's life and why did you plan it? I also worked with a medium in Chicago, Deb Dabari. Deb, again, has many different abilities, one of which is that she's very skilled at talking with the deceased. So if I was interviewing someone whose life challenge involved another person who had returned to spirit, often we would work with Deb. We would call in the person who had returned to spirit, and we would ask them, what did you plan with this person and why did you plan it? And the fourth person who appears in the book is a trance channel named Glenna Dietrich. Glenna is in Minnesota. Glenna channels angelic beings, some of whom actually serve as spirit guides to the people I was interviewing. So I could interview them directly through Glenna and ask them, what did this person plan before birth and why was it planned? And the format of the book is that each chapter takes a look at a particular type of life challenge. So there's a chapter on the pre-birth planning of physical illness, having handicapped children, deafness, blindness, drug addiction, alcoholism, the loss of a loved one, severe accidents, very common sorts of challenges, because I wanted to make the book as helpful to people as possible. And then each interviewee had between one and three sessions with the different mediums. And in each case, we would ask Spirit the question, did this person plan this challenge before he or she was born, and if so, why? And then in the book, I present the information that came through from Spirit, and it gives us a comprehensive explanation of why bad things happen to good people, so to speak.
Well, let me ask you, was there anybody that you had actually worked with, or whether it be the channel or the psychic or the person that was being interviewed or, you know, their life was being looked at, that there was what you would call seemingly bad incidences that happened that were not part of the pre-birth planning? Because that was kind of a question I wanted to kind of get into a little bit about. I'm sure that not every step of our way has been totally pre-planned, because we are still free will, you know, individuals. So I was wondering if there was any that you had run into that might have had a major, you know, something major that may not have been part of their pre-birth planning.
Well, we did dozens and dozens of these sessions, and out of all of those, there were only two people in whose lives either the event had not been planned or it had been planned as a secondary life challenge, by which I mean something that was planned as a lower probability that might or might not happen depending upon how the person responded to a primary life challenge. So let me speak more specifically so that this is more concrete. The person whose life challenge had not been planned by him is a gentleman named Bob Feinstein, who is in New York City. And I put Bob's story in the book because it was the only one out of all of the ones we examined in which the person actually had not planned the challenge. What happened in Bob's case is that he planned certain challenges before he was born, the primary one being that he was going to be a homosexual man who would marry a woman, discover his homosexuality in the marriage, and the challenge would be one of self-love, self-esteem. Could he love himself and his partner enough to divulge his true nature to her and then actually leave the marriage? This was the challenge he set up for himself. Now, what happened is that he was born prematurely, and at the hospital, he was placed in an incubator. The nurse who was tending to him accidentally put too much elemental oxygen into the incubator, and the oxygen had the effect of damaging the cells in the retinas of his eyes, leaving him completely blind. This was not a challenge that he had even discussed prior to birth. When the blindness occurred, his spirit left the infant body. His spirit guides were literally right next to the incubator waiting for him to come out of the body. They took him back to the pre-birth planning place, and they showed him images of the baby's eyes, and they explained to him what had happened with the nurse, that too much oxygen had gone into the incubator, and that if he continued with the incarnation, he would have to accept the additional challenge of blindness. And they said to him, you have two choices. You can either go back into the body and take on this new challenge, or you can end the incarnation, return to spirit, and plan a new life with us. And then what ensues is a fascinating discussion in which they bring in many of the major people in his life, including the woman that he was planning to marry, and they talk to them about this new challenge, and they say, Bob is going to be blind. Do you want to stay in Bob's life? And there's a great detailed discussion about whether or not Bob should continue with the incarnation. But this was the only story I found in which the challenge had not been planned. Now, as it turns out, Bob, for reasons of his own, decided to take on this additional challenge of blindness, and he returned to the infant body and continued the incarnation. There's a second story in the book of a woman named Doris who planned the potential for breast cancer prior to birth, but it was planned as what I term a secondary challenge, meaning it was not highly likely to occur. It was just a possibility that might or might not occur, depending upon how she responded to other challenges that were planned as higher probabilities. Now, as it turns out, she didn't respond as she had hoped to some of these other challenges, and so the breast cancer developed as sort of a mirror to her, to show her low self-esteem, to show her issues related to her own sexuality, and it was really intended as a form of healing for her ultimately. But it was planned as a low probability event that might or might not occur. These were the only two stories in which it was not planned as a primary challenge before birth.
That's really interesting, because I am, first of all, I'm very glad to know that it, according to, you know, the information that you have, even though I kind of already knew this, that these things are just not set in stone. You know, that there's, like, especially when you were talking about, what's his name, Bob Feinstein?
Bob Feinstein.
Yeah, especially something like that, because then you kind of wonder, as you were talking about that, I was wondering, oh, what about that nurse that did that? I wonder if this was something that she had planned, you know, that was part of her pre-birth planning. You know, it's like it opens up all realms of possibility there, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of really interesting that, you know, these things do happen, these things that are not in the whole entire planning stage, that they can actually develop. And when you're talking about the secondary challenges, those don't always have to, I think with the way you're saying that, these don't always have to exist if you take the primary challenges and you know, get through them, you know, the way you handle them.
Well, that's correct. And let me share another story with you that perhaps will make this more clear. One of the people I interviewed for Courageous Souls is a woman who had planned to have a spiritual awakening somewhere during the course of this lifetime. And for various reasons of her own and the way she was responding to other challenges, this awakening did not occur. So she had planned before birth that if she didn't awaken at a certain time in her life, she would start to have physical accidents of increasing severity as a way to get her to spiritually awaken. And it was really a very dramatic story, because she has a young daughter, and she shared with me a story that one day she and her daughter, when the daughter was about 7, they were at a swimming pool during the summer. The daughter was swimming in the pool, and all of a sudden she swam to the side, jumped out of the pool, ran over to where her mother was lying in the sun, and she said to her mother, "You're not waking up the way we agreed on. You're going to have a really bad accident."
Oh.
And of course, the mother was completely taken aback by this. But in fact, she did shortly thereafter have a very bad car accident, which did not lead to the awakening she had wanted before birth. And so she had then another and then a third accident until finally the awakening did occur.
Wow, that can be a little frightening, can't it?
It is a little frightening. But again, it's important to understand that from the perspective of the soul, these seemingly bad things are not nearly as bad as they seem to us. You know, when we're here in duality and we're in body and something like a car accident happens, it seems like a great tragedy and there's a lot of pain and suffering involved. And I don't in any way mean to minimize that. But our souls know that nothing that happens here permanently damages anybody. And in addition, from the soul's perspective, a lifetime is really very, very brief. It's as brief as a clap of thunder.
Right.
So for the soul, knowing that no permanent damage is done, knowing that the lifetime is very brief, the soul's perspective is one in which these challenges are learning opportunities. There are opportunities to express love, to receive love, to acquire wisdom, to offer wisdom to others. And since no one is harmed by it, and since the lifetime is very brief, they're much more willing to take on challenges from that perspective than we might be from our perspective.
Absolutely. And Robert, what we're going to do is we're going to take a little short break. And for those of you out there, do not go away. We're going to be right back with more of Robert Robert Schwartz and Courageous Souls. Hang on. Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan. You know, sometimes my schedule does not always allow for me to get to all the inquiries to have a reading. And sometimes I just can't get to everyone as quick as they would need answers. Well, now I have a solution. I am teaming up with my colleagues at the American Association of Professional Psychics. They are there 7 days a week with a very special group of experienced professional psychics. And they have been offering quality psychic readings by phone since 1989. You know, I also know that by using American Association of Professional Psychics, you can be sure the psychic you connect with has been tested and certified for ethics, professionalism, and proven psychic ability. So call now or anytime, 1-800-717-7887. It's still just $3.99 per minute using a major credit card or debit card. But it does get better. Here's a special offer. If you purchase time for a psychic reading from their website, you'll get a 50% discount. Go to CertifiedPsychics.com. Take advantage of the savings. Readings are regularly $3.99 per minute. Why not get 50% off? And that web address is CertifiedPsychics.com, or just click on the banner from my front page. So go ahead, call today, 1-800-717-7887, American Association of Professional Psychics.
Fate Magazine, providing true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now, 800-728-2730. Or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hello, I'm Jane Goodall, only half of the world's forests and wetlands that existed at the start of the 20th century still exist today. We must do a far better job of protecting wildlife habitats, or environmental chaos awaits those who follow us. If you own land you want kept safe forever, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. 1-800-729-SAVE.
More than talk, it's entertaining insight and discoveries. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
All right, welcome back. We're here tonight with Robert Schwartz. We're talking about his new book, or his book, Courageous Souls. Do we plan our life challenges before birth? And before we go on, I'd like to remind everyone that we do have the new chat feature. It's up and available. And you can go to the website. It's journeyswithrebecca.com. And there on the right-hand side, it'll say chat feature. Just click on it. Join in. Many people there now chatting with each other. It's a good place to get to know people of like-mindedness. And Robert, we are back. I'm so glad you are here with us tonight. Honestly, I am. As we were talking about some of the, you call them primary and some of them are secondary challenges, sometimes the secondary challenges don't happen if we get the idea of the primary challenges. And I will tell you is that I I myself have had some personal experiences with some bouts of sickness and illnesses in my life, and I did the conventional thing, you know. I was like, go to the doctors, and there just comes a point in your life when you just, and I said, well, this just isn't working for me. And so on a deeply spiritual level, being that I was able to always communicate with my spirit guides, I really feel very blessed to be able to have done that throughout my life. And they've talked to me through the years about that these are things that we agree on, that we agreed to have these challenges, and what do you learn from them. So when I look at all these, what I call, some people call them bad things, I always looked at them after a while, after I actually understood that somehow I agreed to these experiences. I always looked at them as what is it that I'm missing? What is it that I need to learn? What is it that I need to do? And it's learning how to get kind of quiet within, and so that you can really hear what the soul is trying to speak to you. So all of these people that you have brought forward in this book must have just been absolutely eternally grateful, I guess, for the lack of a better way of saying it, so they are able to discover what these challenges of life, what they're really meant to be about.
Well, I hope that's the case, Rebecca, and I certainly have seen a number of examples in my research and in my work for the book in which someone came in feeling victimized by a particular life challenge, and then after discovering that they had planned it, found that to be very healing, found it to be very empowering. One good example of that, and I share this story in the book in the chapter on the pre-birth planning of physical illness, is a gentleman in Florida whose name is John Elmore. John actually planned before he was born to have the AIDS virus. And when I interviewed John, he talked to me about how shame-based his identity has been his entire life, both before and after the AIDS diagnosis. So much so that he told me when he learned that he had AIDS, he said the first thought that went through his mind was, I deserve this.
Ah.
So I think that indicates, you know, how shame-based his self-identity was. And of course, as you can imagine, he felt very, very angry with the former lover who had given him the virus. But when we work with John, and we work with the mediums, and went into John's pre-birth planning session, we actually heard him talking to the soul of the future lover who would give him this virus. And they planned this event together. And they do this for several different reasons. Some of it is related to John's own personal growth. Some of it is related to a desire to be of service to humanity by decreasing judgment and increasing the amount of tolerance in the world. But we actually hear John agreeing to get the virus from this other person, and we hear this person agree to give him the virus. And I think in working with John, as he came to understand that this was planned and understood why it was planned, there was really a profound shift in his self-identity that took place. And he moved away from that shame-based identity I described a moment ago, and he moved away from feeling victimized by AIDS. And he moved in the direction of seeing himself as an eternal soul and a very, very courageous soul, having the courage to plan such a great challenge before birth. You know, this is not a challenge that just any soul would take on. It's a very, very bold life plan, and it took a lot of courage for him to agree to it, and it takes a lot of courage every day for him to live this plan. And so there was really a dramatic shift in John's self-identity as he came to see himself as the holy eternal soul who was courageous enough to plan this. It's that kind of shift in self-identity away from personality, body consciousness, and to soul consciousness that the book is intended to help facilitate, and that's one of the main reasons I wrote the book.
Well, and I will tell you is that some of the people's life challenges, such as this gentleman you just spoke about, in your book is aptly named. It's a very courageous thing to come into this time with some of these different challenges, and AIDS being one of them. There's such a stigma, too, attached to that. Do you feel like taking a question before we move on in some of the other directions here of your book?
Absolutely.
There's one from Matt in Omaha, and he writes to me and asks me about karma, and does karma relate, or what relationship does it have to pre-birth planning?
Karma is one of the four major reasons I found that we plan life challenges before birth. And let me take a very simple example. Let's say that in a past incarnation, two people had a relationship in which one person was physically ill and the other person was that person's caretaker. When those two people transition back into spirit at the end of the lifetime and have their life review, they will have a sense of unbalanced energy around that relationship, and they will be motivated to balance it in another incarnation. The easiest way to balance that karma would be to simply switch roles. So now, the one who was physically ill plans the life challenge of caretaking, and the one who was the caretaker plans the life challenge of physical illness. What makes this so interesting and so challenging is that once in body, neither of the two souls will remember the pre-birth plan. And so the challenge becomes one of how to both give and receive love unconditionally under the most difficult of circumstances. I think ultimately that's what we're trying to do here, is both give and receive love unconditionally in the face of these very great challenges. But in this particular example, by switching roles, the two souls are able to balance the karma or the unbalanced energy from that previous incarnation. And this is one of the big reasons why we plan challenges.
Well, and you know, I like the phrasing that you have in that. It's one of the things that's in your book is talking about the inequity or imbalances in relationship. And we feel like when we come into this life, we have to balance it out somehow. And I think that's a really good idea for people to understand on both sides of the coin, Robert. And one of them being is that how come some people just give to another person? They just feel like they're just overly, I don't know, like overwhelmed, I guess, that it's become something that's just like they're driven to do. And I want to kind of break that down just a little bit more, and I don't know if you can answer it or not based on the work that you've done with the people, but as an example I just gave, what happens, is there a point in time when that balance becomes again imbalanced because somebody's trying to, you know, make up for something as an example? Does there ever come a time when that it becomes more than what's needed to create whatever is, whether it's karma or balance or what have you? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, as you mentioned earlier in the show, Rebecca, we, the incarnate personalities, always have free will, which is to say that at any moment in time, we are free to deviate from the pre-birth plan as much or as little as we like. So to come back to the example in which one person is ill and the other person is a caretaker, it could very well be that they have agreed to an entire lifetime of one being ill and the other being the caretaker. Or perhaps they've planned just a few years, or perhaps they've planned half a lifetime. All of these things are very possible. But at each point in time, regardless of what the pre-birth plan is, both of those people have free will. And they can make free will decisions which may balance the karma as the soul has planned, or which create new karma. For example, let's say that the caretaker makes a free will decision to leave the person who is physically ill. This would leave the karmic debt still intact, and once back in the life review, at the end of the lifetime, this person, this soul, would see that the karma had not been balanced and would most likely be motivated to plan another lifetime in which they take another shot at balancing that karma. So the free will decisions have a major, major impact on whether or not the karma is balanced.
Absolutely. I would agree with that 110%. I would. I absolutely would. I have one more question here, too, that because this might go along with some of the things that and take us into a slightly different direction as well. This person is, their initials are MB, and they wrote, I have been told I'm a very old soul. Does this mean I keep incarnating because I'm not learning my life's purpose or lessons in previous incarnations?
It would be impossible for me to answer that question, and the reason is that it may very well be that they're still working on learning certain things, or it may be that this soul is complete, that is, they've learned everything that one would want to learn on the earth plane, but they're continuing to come back to be of service to others, which is another major reason why we incarnate and why we plan life challenges. In my book, Courageous Souls, I share the story of a woman in New England named Sharon Dembinski and her son, Tony. Sharon and Tony planned before either one of them was born for Tony to have a heroin addiction in this lifetime. Now, when we went into Sharon's pre-birth planning session, we learned that she was a highly evolved soul who had learned everything that one could hope to learn on the earth plane, and she had no need to come back. But Tony was planning this heroin addiction for purposes of his own, And he went to Sharon, and with whom he'd shared many previous incarnations, and he said to her, "Would you be the mother who guides me through this drug addiction that I'm planning?" And out of her great love for him, she agreed to incarnate once more, even though she had no need to for her own purposes. So here's an example of a soul whose evolution on the earth plane was already complete, but they came back in body anyway to be of service to someone else.
Aha, uh-huh. That's a very good thing. Well, let's talk about the, because that kind of spurns on another question here for me, is because you're talking about Tony and his mother, Sharon?
That's right.
I'm terrible with names. I'm so sorry. Anyway, because she had completed whatever it was that she wanted to complete, and I'm just asking this if this was any part of relevance with the work that you did with the psychic mediums and also with the other people, do we kind of have a tendency to conjugate within what some people would call soul groups? Does that make sense how I'm saying that for you?
Yes, and what you're saying is correct. Let's define what a soul group is. As I understand it, a soul group is a collection of souls who are at more or less the same evolutionary stage and who reincarnate with each other time and time again, playing every conceivable role for and with each other. So you and the other members of your soul group, over the course of many incarnations, would be mother and father, son and daughter, brother and sister, closest of friends, mortal enemies, murderer and the one who is murdered. You would play all of these different roles for each other in order to foster each other's learning and growth. So when we incarnate, we get together with other members of our soul group, and we say, "I'll play this role, and you'll play that role, and we'll incarnate at this time in history in this particular location, and here's how we will meet each other, and these are the roles we'll play for each other." And so we reincarnate with other members of our soul group again and again as we trade places and play these different roles.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Is there, I'm assuming, though, that there are times when we incarnate that there are some people that are not in the soul group that we're interacting with, or we're sharing time with, or what have you, experiencing things with, that may not be part of the soul group, but part of the whatever the scenario is that we have predetermined that we would like to take care of while we're here.
That happens as well. It may very well be the case, for example, that a soul is planning a particular type of challenge prior to birth, and perhaps other members of the soul group aren't available because they're already planning other incarnations, or they're already in those incarnations. Or it may be that there's somebody else, another soul in another soul group, whose life plan dovetails perfectly with what the person in this soul group is planning. And so two souls who have not incarnated with each other may be brought together because the nature of their life plans is such that they mesh, and so it's a good fit, and they share a first incarnation together.
Okay, because the reason why I ask that is because in my own particular family, as I look back at them, I can recognize that some of them are not in my soul group. I absolutely just know that they're not in my soul group. So it was kind of interesting that, you know, wanted to find out whether or not something like that you had run across as you were going through this. Let's see. I think we've got time for another question here. This one is from Susan, and she writes, "What about souls who are way beyond the 3D challenges and karmic issues? Are there a group collectives meeting up at this time?" Do you understand what that question is, Robert?
Is she asking, do the more advanced souls still incarnate, or is she asking, what are they doing?
She said what she wanted to know, if there was a group of souls that may be meeting up at this time due to the timing of where we're at as far as calendar time is concerned and the celestial events and things of that nature.
It sounds as though the question may be a reference to 2012.
Could be.
And my understanding is that there is a worldwide spiritual awakening occurring now, leading up to a dramatic and profound shift in consciousness in 2012. And there are many highly advanced souls who are coming back to help facilitate this shift in consciousness. There are also many very evolved souls who are not actually coming back into body, but they're working as guides to those of us who are in body, also for the purpose of facilitating the shift in consciousness in 2012.
Okay, I think that was actually her question. And I kind of felt like that was what it was, and I'm real sure that that just answered it, to tell you the truth. So good. That's really good stuff. Robert, we're going to take another little short break. We'll come back, and we're going to talk some more about courageous souls. Do we plan our life challenges before birth? Stay with us.
Sure to check out Mark Kerr's debut CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com. This flawless debut performance earned Mark an induction into the Blues Hall of Fame as Ambassador to the Blues for the state of Louisiana. Also, it earned him a nomination for Musician of the Year in 2006 by the Academy of Texas Music. Mark Kerr, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.cdbaby.com.
First day to be a big brother. Maybe I'll take him to a movie. No, not big enough. I'll take him to a carnival. Yeah, we can go on a Ferris wheel. It's gotta be big. It's gotta be huge.
Hi, I'm Alex.
Hey, Alex. I'm Felipe. What do you want to do today?
I was thinking maybe watch the game on TV.
Yeah, cool. I was thinking that too.
When you're a mentor, it doesn't matter what you do. The important thing is spending time together. To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the Ad Council.
Talk with an intuitive touch. Journeys with Rebecca.
All right, welcome back. We are here with Robert Schwartz talking about courageous souls. Do we plan our life challenges before birth? We've been getting some pretty good questions, Robert.
Very good questions.
Yeah, I think some of them are really, pretty profound questions, as well as the answers are pretty profound as well. So I appreciate your extreme knowledge and understanding of this topic. This is great. I do have one question here real quick that I'd like to ask from Mac, and he's in Overland Park. And he writes to us and says, I find the pre-birth very interesting. Like he's saying, look at someone who's made major contribution to humankind. And he just chose Winston Churchill. He said, do souls advance? And who would be like in his soul group? And I'm not sure that you could actually specifically answer what his soul group is, but perhaps you could maybe explain to others that might have similar questions that's made a contribution to humanity.
Well, the question makes me think of something Edgar Cayce once said when he was being interviewed. Edgar Cayce, as many of your listeners will know, is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, American psychic. And he was once interviewed by a journalist who asked him about his own past lives. And he shared with the journalist the story that he had had a past incarnation 100 or 200 years earlier, I believe it was in Kentucky or West Virginia, in which he was, as he described, a quote-unquote loser. In other words, he was born, he did nothing in particular with his life, and then he died. And the journalist said to him, well, why did you plan such an incarnation? And his response was, because I had never had one like that before.
Ah.
So when the listener asked about Winston Churchill, you know, it's important to point out, I think, that from the human perspective, we judge our incarnations. We're always saying that some experience is good or it's bad, a person is good or bad,
right.
A life is very successful or it's unsuccessful. But these sorts of judgments are only part of the human experience. The soul does not judge like that. From the perspective of Edgar Cayce's soul, the lifetime as the quote-unquote loser would likely have been just as valuable and just as much of a learning and growth experience as the incarnation in which he was the great Edgar Cayce. And I would imagine that Winston Churchill's soul looks at it much the same way. Churchill was a great man from the human perspective, but I'm sure that his soul had many, many other incarnations in which the individual was not famous or did not accomplish anything in particular, certainly nothing to the extent that Churchill did, and yet the soul would look at all of those incarnations as equally valuable.
Well, and you know, I have to agree with that. I truly believe that each and every one of us as individuals here, you know, we may not be, you know, famous and you know, known worldwide, but that doesn't make us any less valuable, not only as individuals, but to the service to humanity or whatever we may be accomplishing. And I really like the fact that you brought up the fact of judgment here, because one of the things that, through the work that I do, there's a lot of people that look at other people and, as example, you use the loser mentality, right? This guy's a loser. He's not doing anything. He's just sitting there. And I've told people, I said, you know what? You really just don't know what their path is. Maybe that's what they're supposed to be doing. Maybe they're honoring what they're supposed to be doing. Because inherently, we're all connected. On some level, we're all connected. We're all part of the source. And we're living out these experiences here in this life. And some of us are living them out for correcting imbalances, for our own lessons, our pre-birth planning. And so the fact that the judgment thing, I think, is really an important thing for people to understand, that the soul does not look at another soul with judgment, or even the own self with judgment.
Well, this is really one of the major reasons, Rebecca, why I wrote the book Courageous Souls, because I think so often in our society and in our world, we have strong judgments against certain types of people. We judge the homeless person, the drug addict, the alcoholic, the person with AIDS. We look at people who are going through experiences like this, and we say that they're not coping well, that they're not successful, that perhaps they're using drugs or alcohol to escape their problems. We look at the homeless person on the street corner and wonder why that person can't get their act together. And yet, very often, these experiences are planned before birth, partly for the lessons for that particular individual, partly to be of service to others. You know, the homeless person who's on the corner, who appears to be such a failure from the human perspective, may be a highly, highly evolved soul who took on that incarnation as a way to remind passersby of their humanity, of their compassion, of the need for unconditional love. So the person may have planned homelessness as a form of service to humanity. We look at that person and we judge them as a loser, when in fact, it's a highly, highly evolved soul. So it's very important that we put these judgments aside and remind ourselves that we don't know generally what our own life plan is, let alone that of somebody else.
Isn't that a true statement? That's a true statement. We've only got just like about a minute and a half before we'll have to go for a break here, Robert, and we're going to be coming back and also taking some more questions here after the break. But your website is CourageousSouls.com, and where can people get the book? Is it just on your website, or can they get it somewhere else?
They can order it on the website. They can also order it from Amazon. It can be ordered through any bookstore or library in the country. And again, the website for people who prefer to order there is www.courageoussouls.com. We also have a toll-free number, which is 800-742-0148.
Okay, so that was 1-800-742-0148?
That's correct.
Okay, great. That's the toll-free number. Now, that's for book ordering, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. So, you guys, before we return, you might want to grab some questions together. You've heard a lot of information here tonight. You can instant message us, Journeys with Rebecca, all one word, mailbag at Journeys with Rebecca, or there's people in the chat room that will also be sending me the questions, if you have any, that you can ask Robert or myself on the second hour coming up of Journeys with Rebecca as we continue on our conversation with Robert Schwartz, Courageous Souls, Do We Plan Our Life Challenges Before Birth? So, again, that chat feature is right on the front page. You guys stay with us because we're going to be right back after this break. Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan. I would like to share with you some information about my friends and colleagues at the American Association of Professional Psychics. Here are their founding principles to uplift the public image of professional psychics. Distinction through ethics, professionalism, and credibility. To provide positive press and publicity for certified psychics. To provide assurance that certified psychics are authentic, ethical, and professional. So please check them out. CertifiedPsychic.com or call 1-800-717-7887. Again, that's 800-717-7887. You'll be glad you did.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life and by others just like you who have something dramatic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on all aspects of the paranormal, angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now. 800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate waits.
Hey, I'm Bonnie Raitt. Remember how excited you were as a kid to go back to school at the end of the summer? Seeing old friends, making new ones, getting new books in a new locker, a clean slate. And music class, that special room where you went to sing and perform with your friends and learn all sorts of interesting stuff about great composers and instruments and different kinds of music. We remember our music teachers because they were so passionate about helping us learn to love music. They helped spark a love for listening to notes and voices and rhythms that continues to enrich our lives even today. Know what? I bet your kids feel the same way about music class. Ask them, and make sure they get involved with music in school this year.
A back-to-school PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, Gibson Guitar, Baldwin Piano, and this station. Music, it wires the brain for learning.
Stay tuned for the second hour of Journeys with Rebecca. For those of you who have to leave us, thank you for listening and encourage your station to pick up the second hour of the show. So stay with us because we're going to be taking your emails, your IMs, and phone calls in the second hour and lots more. We'll be right back for more of Journeys with Rebecca. We all have to take responsibility for our own health. Study and research suggests that if we give the body the right tools, it can correct most imbalances caused by today's poor nutrition, stress, and environmental pollution. Our garden offers products made from the highest quality ingredients to ensure that you get the maximum health benefits from the products. Now, a new product in the line is Resveratrol Complex. Now, it is a proprietary blend of Resveratrol 25, red wine extract, grapeseed extract, and pine bark extract. Now, television and newspaper medias have featured stories about the health benefits of red wine, citing research that suggests that red wine may lower the risk of developing certain diseases. Other research studies from around the world on the polyphenols found in red wine and other plants suggest that the polyphenols may help improve overall health and longevity. So try your risk-free Resveratrol Complex now and discover how really great you can feel and look. Order yours now at perfectlyorganic.net. That's perfectlyorganic.net.